We're going to be in Joshua chapter 4 tonight. Now, I know it's not going to come as any surprise to most of you that I'm really big on remembering the past. I've just watched with fascination this past week as the International Order of Odd Fellows, IOOF building, came down this past week. And I don't know the whole history of that building, but it stood at what was the busiest part of town for decades, for 124 years. And I remember it as Goodman's. Anybody else remember that? And, I mean, it's a fabric store, so it's like, what am I doing there? Well, I was with Mom, and she was dragging me along as she went in to select fabric and buttons and zippers and all these kinds of things, because my mom was a seamstress and did a lot of things like that. And Isaac and I were driving by that building at 3:20, I looked at my watch, one afternoon, and we heard this awful racket, and I just couldn't imagine what it was. And as we got to the intersection right there, I saw all this dust just billowing all over the place. So we turned down and went down there, and the building had started to fall, and we got to hear it. We were there for that. Anyway, poor Isaac, every time I take him anywhere, Gilman, Ridgeway, Bethany, it doesn't matter, I'll say, now that's where this used to set. This building used to be that. And thankfully, Isaac kind of enjoys that. You know, he's kind of amazed by those kinds of things. But the reason I bring it up is because I remember the past. I commemorate the past. There's a lot of things that I own, specifically because they remind me of my grandparents or they belong to my grandparents. In my office in here hangs a picture of Pauline Lyerly, who coincidentally used to work at Goodman's. And she's in the picture, she's handing me my ordination certificate about 10 years ago over in that building. And I keep that because it's special to me. And I could go on and on and on. And I could just take you through the house and bore you like I do Isaac sometimes with all what all these things mean. But all of these things are memorials to my past, to events or people or places in my past. And I've often used Joshua chapter 4 as a scripture to back up the idea of creating memorials. And we're going to be looking at the whole chapter tonight, but for now I'm going to just read the first 7 verses. And I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Joshua 4, 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Let's pray. Father, as always, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for so many things I see that continue, Lord, to guide us today. I thank you for this passage, which tells us that it's important. It's really important for us to remember what you've done for us, to remember the things that you've accomplished, Lord. And I pray for each one of us here tonight that we have our own memorial in our hearts of all that you've done for each one of us. And I just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God knew what we were going to be like, and he knew that we were going to need reminders from time to time about what he's done for us. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, which is the original sin chapter, God went looking for Adam and Eve. And I always was a little bit amused by that, you know, that he's calling out in the garden, where are you? He knew where they were. He knew what they'd done. And he knew the answer to every question he asked them before he asked it. But he asked them, have you eaten of the tree that I forbid you to eat from? and just kind of reminding them there of his one and only rule for living in the Garden of Eden. Now, you know, you and I probably think, well, if we just have one rule, surely we could have kept it. And, you know, I don't think I need to remind you of all the different times that we break the rules and we go through red lights and we, you know, go faster than the speed limit and we fudge on our income taxes just a little bit. We've got rules too, but we try to see what we can do to circumvent them. He reminds us in his word of the consequences of disobeying. In Deuteronomy, just before Moses died and just before the people entered the promised land, where they are as we read these verses, Moses said this: "Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And like I said this morning, they were witness to an incredible miracle, a series of miracles. How could they forget? And then I ask you and me, how do we forget so easily what God's done for us? So it's important for us to remember what God's done, and it's important for us to proclaim that. And that's one of the reasons why I love this testimony time so well that we do on Sunday evenings. Now, it would have been relatively easy to gather up these stones like they were instructed because the Jordan is dry at this point in time. And the same 12 men who were called back in chapter 3, before the priests were called to carry, to set their feet in the flooded waters, they've been called again. And we find out what their purpose is. And he tells them that they're supposed to gather up 12 stones. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 5, something I know that you are familiar with. It says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Okay? They're gathering stones together. Now, my historical mind, I love to imagine what Bethany must have looked like in 1892 when the IOOF building was just built. It was a brand new fancy building, and people were just in awe of the beauty and the size and the height, because very few buildings were that tall in this part of the world at that time. But somebody went around and gathered stones for a foundation to put that building on. Right now, they are in the process of casting those stones away. For the Hebrew people preparing to enter the promised land, it might have been a little confusing. Okay, the river's backed up here behind us, and we've just crossed over into the promised land, and now he's telling these guys to go down there and get this big stone and put it on their shoulders and carry it out. What do we need those for? We got battles to fight and houses to settle in. We've been waiting for 40 years to get over here. Why do we need to gather stones? Verses 6 and 7 again. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And you shall answer them and tell them what happened, basically. It's a reminder. This is a reminder when we have the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. There are reminders all around us of what God's done. I'm sorry for local history here, but that's just the way it goes. You know, just across from this building that's being taken down, there's a big painting on the wall of Babe Adams, one of the winning pitchers from the 1909 World Series. And he lived for a short time in Bethany. He grew up in Mount Moriah, and we here in Bethany kind of celebrate the legacy of somebody that nobody, I'll bet, remembers except my dad. He remembers him. He met him. He watched him play. But anyway, you know, there are going to, just like the 12 stones were set up as a memorial to the mighty miracles that God performed, and just, you know, the people today might say, why is this guy's picture painted on the wall? And the children of the future, back here with the Hebrews, might ask, what's this pile of rocks all about? And here's what it does. It becomes an opportunity for testimony. We get an opportunity. And just like Bill was talking about, you know, what are these three crosses for? It's an opportunity for testimony. There are things in our lives, and I know we've hit on this before, but some people might question, like, why do you go to church? Sunday night? Wednesday night? All the time? Why do you do all these things? Why do you give so much honor to somebody who died on a cross 2,000 years ago? Well, folks, I really believe our lives should be a memorial. to what Jesus did, to what God did for us. And just as much as these stones were a memorial to what God has done. And I really pray that that's the case for each and every one of us. I want to read verses 10 and 11. It says, "So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, and the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people." Remember, the priests with the ark had been out there in the middle of the river this whole time while all these people were crossing. And we see in verses 12 through 14 that 40,000 of those people crossed over fully armed and immediately began making preparation for battle on the other side of the Jordan, just that, as they'd been instructed to do. And I see something for us there too. Make your testimony and then prepare for battle. Not battle in the sense of, you know, throwing stones or spears at people, but the battle that probably will ensue when somebody wants to know what your testimony is about. We're also told that God exalted Joshua, built him up, so that the people of Israel gave Joshua the same respect that they gave Moses, just like he promised in last week's chapter. And then the priests who bore the ark were commanded to go ahead and cross into the promised land. And I skip all the way down to 18 now. "And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and again overflowed all its banks as before." So just like when the soles of their feet touched the water, it immediately backed up and dried up. As soon as their feet got out of the banks of the Jordan, everything was back to normal. And like we said before, God could have arranged so many different ways for this to take place. He could have built a bridge. He could have magically transported them. He could have done all kinds of things. But just like he asks you and me to do, he asked them to take a step of faith, a step of obedience, and we have to do that too. Now, this would have been a big moment for the people of Israel, because up until this moment, When the dry riverbed is behind them and where they came from is right over there, they could have turned back. And, you know, a lot of the people in the first generation of the Hebrew people would have done that. We can go back to Egypt where we got cucumbers and melons and all kinds of good stuff. Why would I want to go over here where I don't know what's going to happen? But now that the floodwaters are raging again, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. One of the songs that we sing has that refrain in it. There's no turning back, no turning back. And that's what it is for these folks. They are here, and they're going to stay. This chapter closes with a repetition of the purpose for the memorial. It was an opportunity for sharing their faith with their children. I've heard people criticize Christians because we force Christianity down the throats of our children. Have you ever heard that? One of my very good friends told me once that he didn't make his children go to church because he wanted them to make up their own minds when they grew up. And I told him, "You've already made up their minds." Because children imitate their parents. And if you don't believe it, just watch little kids. They'll try to act like daddy or act like mommy. And if we show them that Jesus Christ is not important enough for us to worship him or to go see him, they've made up their minds too. And it's really hard to overcome that. But if your parents make Christianity a priority, the chances are you're going to imitate that. If that's just the way it is. So we need to set up a memorial, folks, for our children and our grandchildren so that they will say, "What's this pile of rocks all about?" It's about remembering what God's done for us. It's a testimony to the mighty works that he's worked. Among the things that I couldn't say this morning, and I'll probably struggle with it tonight, but I'm a little bit better off, and it's easier to say it when I'm not looking right at him. But I really, on the way down there, was thinking, how in the world can I go to somebody who's already lost a son and comfort them when they've lost one already? And how in the world, what am I going to say at a service? And those things were going through my head. There's no doubt about it. And I just praise God for answered prayer. Because, and I just really don't think we still even get it. I know you guys do. But how close we came to losing him. And how much answered prayer played a part in the fact that he sat here today 52 days later. And that's absolutely a memorial. And I really wanted so badly to get that across to people who were here today for the one and only time, maybe. And that, you know, that's why I guess I was so nervous and so distraught almost about what God had given me to say. But I just felt like it was important. But here today, we have a memorial set up. And I really believe, right now it's Dylan. He's a memorial to what God can do. And I pray that each one of us, every time we see him, think about him, tell about him, we say that's what these stones are for, to remind us of what God has done. The last verse shows another purpose. That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And see, folks, our memorials that we set up, our remembrances, our testimonies, aren't just for the people who are here. You know, again, people have seen far and wide the miracle, thanks to, you know, social media and different things like that. There's all kinds of people that have heard this story, this miraculous story. And this is so that the people of the earth will see a testimony of the mighty hand of the Lord. If we set up a memorial for our children to see, the people of the earth are going to be able to see it as well. And I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. Your non-believing neighbors, your non-believing co-workers, family members are curious. And I know that comes up a lot here, but they really are. What are they? Why do they put so much stock in this stuff? Why do they serve? Why do they give? Why do they go? They're curious. Be the memorial so that other people might see what God has done in your life. And then people will say, what are these stones? Let's pray. Father God, again, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage, which I've referenced many, many different times, Lord, when we talk about the importance of memorials, the importance of remembering. And I pray, God, as I said at the end of this, that each person in this room will be the memorial to what Christ has done, that we will be the testimony that people need to hear. And Lord, I just thank you again for the incredible opportunity this morning to share with such a large number of people who normally wouldn't have heard. And God, I know from Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Lord, I pray that you work a mighty good work as a result of what we have seen and the miracles that we've seen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us, and I pray this in your name. Amen.